We're going deep in the Maldives this morning on Wake Up with Hope.
We also have health news, a segment from The Incredible Journey on practical steps to growing as a Christian.
And a devotional from Pastor Mark Finley.
Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up with Hope. You know, we can't wait to kick off today's program.
That's right, friends. It's a lovely Friday morning right here on Wake Up with Hope, and we're so glad that you chose to start your weekend with the love of Jesus. Do you have any special plans this weekend? Send us a message on our Wake Up with Hope Facebook page and let us know. We'd love to know what you're up to.
We sure would. And today is also National Safer Workplace Day. This day serves to promote workplace safety with an increased focus on machine safety to reduce the potential of accidents and injury. So make sure to practice extra safety today.
Mm-hmm.
And well, we have a lot to share with you, and so we want to get started by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1904, Helen Keller, who had been deaf and blind since an illness at 19 months old, graduated cum laude from Radcliffe College in Cambridge, Massachusetts. She became the first deafblind individual to earn a bachelor's degree. Helen Keller's remarkable journey is a powerful testament to the resilience and perseverance that faith in God can instill in us. Despite being blind and deaf from the age of 19 months, Helen did not let her disabilities define or limit her. Instead, she drew on her faith to overcome immense challenges and achieve extraordinary things.
In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, the Apostle Paul writes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, this verse encapsulates the essence of Helen Keller's life. Her achievements remind us that with God's strength, we can surpass even the most daunting obstacles.
Amen. Well, friends, Dr. Narada McKibben from Go Healthy for Good joins us now to share health news.
In the headlines today, Alzheimer's and sugar, coffee shrinks the brain, and high cholesterol, more dementia. High sugar intake may increase the risk for Alzheimer's disease and cognitive decline, according to new research. Over 830 participants in the Rush Memory and Aging Project who did not have Alzheimer's at baseline were evaluated over several years. Using dietary assessments, researchers analyzed the link between sugar intake and Alzheimer's disease. Cognition was assessed using a battery of 19 cognitive tests, and the results confirmed a correlation between a higher sugar intake and deteriorating memory and cognitive abilities, ultimately leading to the development of Alzheimer's disease. After being adjusted for lifestyle and genetic factors, participants with the highest sugar intake were found to have approximately a 95% higher chance of developing Alzheimer's. Moderate sugar intake did not have a significant impact, but don't take the risk. Reduce your sugar intake today so you can age well tomorrow. A study published in the journal Nutritional Neuroscience reports that a very high intake of coffee is associated with a smaller brain and substantially higher rates of dementia. The researchers studied the health data of 400,000 people aged between 37 and 73 residing in the UK. Of those studied, 18,000 had had an MRI scan of their brain. Researchers found that people who drank six or more cups of coffee a day had a 53% higher rate of dementia than those who drank 1 to 2 cups a day. They also found the more coffee consumed, the smaller the total brain volume. Dr. Kitty Pham, the lead author, warns that heavy coffee consumers may be putting themselves at risk of brain diseases such as dementia and stroke. The Lancet Healthy Longevity Journal has just published a study on the impact of LDL cholesterol in the middle age on the risk of Alzheimer's disease later in life. The study reviewed data from 1.8 million people in the UK and was led by Professor Iwagami of the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. He points out that this large study dwarfs all previous studies and provides more precise results. The study found that a high LDL cholesterol under the age of 65 is associated with an increased risk of dementia more than 10 years later. The risk is 60% higher in those with LDL cholesterol levels above 200 milligrams per deciliter or 5 millimoles per liter, compared with those with half that level. So don't assume that dementia is a natural part of the aging process. There are so many things we can do, like keeping active, eating well, avoiding sugar, caffeine, and looking after our cardiovascular health in order to delay or even prevent the onset of dementia. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's health news.
Coming up after this short break, we'll have another Reflections of Hope episode. We'll also have an encouraging segment on growing in the Christian faith.
And don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more.
And search for us on YouTube. Check out our channel there and keep up with us. We'll be right back. Have you ever felt like you don't have any significant talents, nothing special to contribute to the world, or maybe you don't have any mountainous accomplishments to celebrate? Perhaps your personality is like a flat Maldivian sandbar. There's nothing much to the height of it, or the stature, or the color in your character, at least on the surface. But then you see others with special gifts, abilities, opportunities, and accomplishments, and in comparison, you feel like a failure. Well, come along with Tosh Paklev on today's Reflections of Hope episode as he takes us deep into the Maldives.
Miles off the southwestern tip of India, in the middle of the Indian Ocean, lies a bucket list destination for travelers across the globe. A natural wonderland of palm fringe islands, pristine white sand beaches, turquoise lagoons, and rich coral reefs full of marine life. The Maldives is the lowest lying country in the world, with an elevation of no more than 6 feet above sea level. As might be expected, it's also the flattest country on our planet. With a total area of 115 square miles, it is the smallest country in Asia and has some of the smallest islands in the world. The string of over 1,000 tropical islands is not big in height nor in width. There are no mountains to hike, no forests to explore, no peaks to summit. But what it lacks in height and width, it makes up for in depth. For the main draw of this place is what lies deep beneath the surface of the ocean. The Maldives is stranded in the middle of the third largest ocean in the world, the Indian Ocean. This tiny archipelago rises out of a rich marine world. While the land is limited, there is so much to see and explore beneath the surface. Descending into the warm embrace of the Indian Ocean puts you in awe at the creativity of the Creator and the complexity of His creation. Shallow reefs covered in spectacular coral comprise this underwater kingdom. The water drops hundreds of feet down, where only those with special equipment can go. There are so many colorful fishes that capture the eye, like the tiny yellow boxfish, the curious batfish, the venomous lionfish, the hungry parrotfish, the spotted moray, the colorful cuttlefish, the camouflaged stonefish, flying eagle rays, and so many others. These creatures teach many lessons to the careful observer. Graceful mantas gliding over your head provoke you to ponder about the purpose of life. Friendly reef sharks come close, turning fears into fascination. Tiny critters open your mind to look for beauty in the little things. Hunting marble rays and prowling eels teach you of the importance of diligence and perseverance in the survival of life. Schools of fish remind us of the blessing of community, while the clownfish and the sea anemone teaches us of the benefits of working together and the profits of interdependence. The sheer depth and magnitude of the ocean surrounding the Maldives is mind-blowing and thought-provoking. It's like we've gone to another planet. Though this unassuming island chain is small, just under the surface is a vast new world, a whole other realm full of beauty, wonder, intrigue, and surprise. But here's another message I've gained from going deep in the Maldives. You see, things are not always what they appear on the surface. At first glance, something may seem small, unimportant, limited, and peripheral. But once you go beneath the surface, just like the waters of the Maldives, you realize that there's much more than meets the eye. Life is just like this. You see, when you stay on the surface, your judgment becomes faulty because your vision is so limited. When you focus on the surface, you fail to see the potential that lies deep within. And at times you can feel like the flatness of an ordinary life and the small surface area of limited opportunities is holding you back from making a significant difference in the world. Your life may feel like a tiny, insignificant island in the middle of a vast ocean of opportunity. Or maybe your life feels mundane, and the daily grind calls you to feel lifeless and uninspired. Perhaps all you can see is limitations in your life, borders and boundaries that hold you back. You've been focusing on only what you can see at the surface. But the Maldives teaches us something about where we need to look. Because just like the Maldives, under the surface is where the real action is at. This is where you find your God-given potential to change the world. It is the space beneath the exterior that makes you special and unique. Have you ever felt like you don't have any significant talents? Nothing special to contribute to the world? Or maybe you don't have any mountainous accomplishments to celebrate. Perhaps your personality is like a flat Maldivian sandbar. Not much color in your character, at least on the surface. And then you see others with special gifts, abilities, opportunities, and accomplishments. And compared to others, you feel like a failure. Well, if so, you need to know that you're looking in the wrong place. You have to look deeper within. Your Creator has given you a unique personality and a special calling that no one else can fulfill. And in a world obsessed with looking pretty, being skinny, making up and building up the exterior, please remember that true beauty and real strength lies within. In a world of shallowness, it's time to go deeper. These surface things are only the front cover to an amazing book that is still being written. For just like the rich waters of the Maldives, when you penetrate beneath the depths of your outward lacks and look beyond the surface of all your physical limitations, then you will find your divine purpose in this world. And not only will it be unique, it will be absolutely beautiful. As I spent time here in the Maldives and experienced the beauty deep in the Indian Ocean, I've been reminded of the awesome reality that God sees past our outward exterior. He sees beyond the surface of our looks, the personas we put on, the clothes we wear, and the words that we speak. Not only does He see who we really are, but also what we can become. He sees the incredible force for good that our lives can be in this world. You may feel like you have nothing special or remarkable to offer, but let me remind you that you do. So look to God. He will not only open your eyes to see your potential, but He'll give you the wisdom to unlock it and the strength to maximize it, to change and inspire the world. So today I encourage you, go beneath the surface and live your life for a deeper purpose. Dive deep into the ocean of God's love. Let His presence wash over you in a flood of healing grace. There is so much more under the surface. That's where the real action is at. So go ahead, check it out today.
The Incredible Journey is back this morning to share practical tips and 6 steps to Christian growth.
Ever wanted to be a better Christian? You know, a more faithful and devout follower of Jesus? It's important that we grow as Christians. Growing in our relationship with the Lord is a lifelong process. Growing as a Christian is growing in our faith, growing in holiness, growing in our knowledge of God, and growing in our love for God and for others. Spiritual growth is not automatic. It is something we must pursue. And there are a few essential and basic things that every Christian needs in order to grow spiritually. Here are six simple ways to help you grow as a Christian this year. And to make it easy, just remember the word growth. G, go to God in prayer daily. The Bible says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." R, reading the Bible daily. Try beginning with the Gospel of John. The Bible says, "They received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily." O, obey God's commandments. The Bible says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." W, witness for Christ by your life and words. The Bible says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." T, trust God for every detail of your life. The Bible says, "Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." H, Holy Spirit. Allow Him to control and empower your daily life. The Bible says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." If you really want to be a better Christian, a more devout and faithful follower of Jesus, try following these six simple suggestions to deepen your faith life and strengthen your relationship with Jesus. And if you'd like to find out more about growing as a Christian, then I'd like to recommend the free Bible reading guide we have for you today. It's called God's Power in My Life. Just go to our Incredible Journey website, tij.tv, to request your free Bible reading guide now.
After this short break, we're going to have today's devotional thought by Pastor Mark Finley. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us.
It's now time for our devotional thought with Pastor Mark Finley.
Have you ever met somebody that was so humble, they were proud of their humility? I read a story once about an old preacher. He talked about this young man. And this young man thought he was the greatest preacher ever, you know. And the young man goes up into the pulpit very proud, very arrogant. He begins to preach, but something happens. He loses his place in his notes, can't find where he is. He stumbles through the sermon, stutters. He's embarrassed. He walks down with his head down. The old preacher says, "Son, if you would have gone up as you came down, you would have come down as you went up." In other words, if you went up with a very humble attitude, depending on God totally, you would have come down satisfied that God had spoken through you. The book of Proverbs tells us the story of the importance of humility in our lives. So we need to look at what is humility and why is humility such an important grace. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12, "Before the destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, but before honor is humility." Why is pride so destructive, and what is humility? Pride indicates a lack of trust in God. It's exalting self above God. Pride trusts in the fallen human nature. It trusts in its own abilities. Do you remember the story told in Scripture of Lucifer and his pride? That story is found in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. And Scripture says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the sun of the morning. How are you cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. Now notice, Lucifer has eye problems. He needs a divine optometrist. I will ascend into heaven. Five times I is used. Wasn't he already in heaven? Yes, he wanted a higher place. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Didn't he have a throne? Yes, but he wasn't content. He wanted a higher position. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation in the farthest sides of the north. What does it mean that Lucifer would sit in the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north? Mount Sinai was to the north. That's where the law of God was administered. So Lucifer did not want to obey. He wanted to be the one who gave the law. It says, I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So Lucifer wanted God's power, but not his character. Pride is so destructive because it substitutes human reasoning for God's divine truth. It substitutes the abilities of the creature far above the power of God, the Creator. It substitutes human logic for divine wisdom. Humility is simple dependence on God. James chapter 4, verse 6 declares, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What is humility? Humility is trusting in God. Humility is recognizing that I can't, but God can. That I don't have the wisdom, but God does. I don't have the strength, but God does. Humility is not weakness, but it's rather humble trust upon God really enables me to become much stronger. Remember in the Beatitudes how Jesus puts it, Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is rather humble, trusting upon God, recognizing that He is the source of my wisdom, the source of my strength. A number of years ago, when I first went to the former Soviet Union, the situation was quite tense, and our leadership team there of the Seventh-day Adventist Church assigned to me a Russian bodyguard by the name of Boris. Now, Boris's story is quite remarkable. Boris always wanted to be part of the KGB, the secret police. His uncle was the guard, was one of the guards of Stalin. And Boris admired his uncle. And so he went to KGB school, Boris did, and he learned psychological warfare. He learned how to detonate bombs and explosives. He learned judo. He learned the art of using weapons. He studied geography, culture, history, language. Boris, just a brilliant person. And one day he was in a guard tower, the KGB. And as Boris was in this guard tower, it had rained and it was quite slippery. Stepped on a ladder, flipped, went down the staircase, and broke his back. He was taken to a special KGB hospital. While in that hospital, he was lying on the bed, and he was watching television, and he saw some of his KGB unit classmates that had graduated with him, now that were operatives, and he knew them, and he saw them in crowds, inciting riots here and there in republics in the Soviet Union that the Soviets wanted to dominate. And so he watched all that and he said, that's not the lifestyle I want. And he began to think, where can I find peace and meaning? And he remembered on one occasion that he had heard a story about Jesus on a mountain giving a sermon. And he remembered some of the words of that sermon. And he called it the Mountain Sermon. Words like, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the meek. And very humbly, very submissively, this KGB agent said, Jesus, I need you. Give me direction. He sent a letter to what he thought was the Orthodox priest, asking, have you ever heard of the Mountain Sermon? He didn't know the Sermon on the Mount. Have you ever heard of the Mountain Sermon? And I'd like to know more about it, and I'd like to know more about this man called Jesus. The letter ended up, because churches had their mailboxes similar so they could be controlled, not far from one another, in an Adventist pastor's mailbox. And the Adventist pastor read it. He visited Boris there at the KGB hospital, and he shared with him the principles of the Bible. He shared with him the story of Daniel and how Daniel's humility, Daniel purposed in his heart to serve God, and how Daniel in a foreign culture was dependent upon God. He shared with Boris the prophecies of the book of Daniel, the second chapter, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, and the breakup of the Roman Empire, and the coming of Christ. Boris was so incredibly impressed with that that he gave his heart to Jesus, became my bodyguard. When I left Russia during those days, I gave Boris all my graphics, all my slides I was using for sermons. And his story is an amazing one because he becomes a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. And as a pastor, he becomes an evangelist and a leader in our church in Russia in various conferences or geographical units of our churches. God blesses the humble. Boris had the humility to seek God and not depend on his own sufficiency or his own brilliance. Wherever you are just now, God invites you to seek him in his word, to humbly come to him and to let him impress your heart, touch your mind, and change your life.
Thank you, Pastor Mark.
And thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. If you'd like to learn more about our program, rewatch a segment during the weekend, or share us with a friend, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we look forward to starting the week with you, so don't forget to join us right here on Monday morning. Same time, same place. We'll have an inspiring message from Voice of Prophecy, a delicious vegan cashew cheese recipe from Gia and her team, music, and more.
Also, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study.
Now, we don't want to leave without sharing a Bible promise for the weekend. And today's promise comes from Luke chapter 12, verse 32.
It says, "Don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom."
Friend, the Bible is filled with these beautiful promises from God. Our loving Savior promises to never leave us. He promises to always guide us, to always be near to us. All we have to do is reach out our hand and say, "Yes, yes, Lord, come to me. You know, I want to be near you and live in your presence." He promises to give us the eternal kingdom as we take hold of him and his promises.
Amen. We hope that today you keep this amazing promise in your heart, and we truly wish you a blessed weekend.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, yes, we do, Lord. We reach out with our hand of faith and hold on to your hand. And Lord, we do not want to let go. And we know that you won't let go. And so walk with us today, Lord. Give us hope, fill us with hope, guide us with hope, and may we be able to praise your holy name as we come to the end of the day to look back and say, "Indeed, God was faithful." And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.